Hafaday, and welcome to this edition of Heart of Harvest.
The only thing that'll really conquer fear is faith in the Lord. The just shall live by faith.
That was Pastor Marty Heron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church. Heart of Harvest brings you archived sermons from Pastor Heron's nearly 19-year ministry on Guam. Our prayer for this program has always been that these messages from the Word of God would help you develop a heart for God. To download these programs or others, or to learn more about our ministry, we'd invite you to visit the Harvest Baptist Church website at hbcguam.org. That's hbcguam.org. And now, from our Harvest Archive, former Pastor Marty Heron with today's message.
Does the Bible talk about fear? It does much. Rather than describe fear and try and define it for you, I want to use it out of the life, life of Jacob. The topic of fear would be way beyond what I can accomplish. So I want to narrow it down to the area of fear in the area of relationships. Because God desires for every Christian to live by faith, not fear. People all through the ages of history have fought their fears in one way or another. And the only thing that'll really conquer fear is faith in the Lord. The just shall live by faith. And I'd like to illustrate this by the life of Jacob. And so if you have your Bibles, turn to Genesis 32. I believe if you are going to move forward in your life by faith, you need to conquer the area of fear. I want to take an overview of this and give me a moment here and set the stage for the life of Jacob, because I think it's important. Because fear itself will cripple you. You as a Christian, understand, listen to me. Fear is like sand in the engine of your life. Faith is like oil that will lubricate your life. There are things in your life that God brings into your life, particularly in the area of relationships, that God wants to use for you as a Christian to express your faith in God, who you don't see, that God please in these relationships. Help me to work through them and by faith make wise decisions. And Jacob is a great illustration of this. We could select many. Jacob himself, do you remember? Let me step back a little Hebrew history here, okay? The Bible in the New Testament says about the Old Testament that there are illustrations, there are people that were given to us in the Old Testament as exhortation for us, or illustrations or examples for us that we would live by faith. One of them is the area of Jacob. Jacob had a grandfather. What was his name? Abraham. Abraham was a man of faith. He is known by faith. Abraham had a son. What was his name? Isaac. Isaac and Rebekah. Isaac lived by faith. Isaac had some of the same issues and victories as Abraham did, but also some great failures like Abraham did. And then Jacob comes along. Jacob had a brother. What was his name? Esau. Jacob and Esau were twins. And by the time the age of 40 years came around, they had already had some struggle in their own relationships. All three of these men are named as men of faith at the end of their life. So Jacob is a man that lived by faith. But throughout his life, he lived by his feelings. He's a great illustration of the two natures, of a man living by the Spirit of God and man living by his flesh. A man living by faith, man living by his feelings. There are many times that Jacob lived by his feelings. At one point in time, his brother came in from the field, Esau, a great hunter, brought food. He was so hungry that his brother, Jacob, the manipulator, the supplanter, deceived and said, hey, listen, yeah, you hungry? Hey, bro, listen, let me take care of you. All right, listen, I got this beautiful food right here. Let me give it to you. But either way, give me your birthright. That's like giving away your inheritance to us today. And Esau, a profane man, the Bible says, did it. And out of that, a few years later, by the prompting of his mother, Jacob finds himself as well now, because he's living by his feelings, not by faith, saying, you know what? I don't only want the birthright, I want the blessing, which is even more valuable. And that's exactly what happened. And Esau found out about it. And it's the first mention of bitter in Scripture, where Esau cried out with a bitter cry because his brother Jacob ripped him off. He got so torqued that he started talking to others about the fact he's going to wipe out Jacob. And Jacob felt real burdened to leave. And that's exactly what he did. For 20 years, Jacob left. Remember the story? And for 20 years now, he had two wives, not just one. He got two. Do you remember? Rachel and Leah. And he kind of ended up having stuff come on him. But at the same time, he ended up manipulating, conniving over 20 years, worked with his uncle Laban. Then in the middle of all of that, God did step in and speak to Jacob. Do you remember the angels up and down with the ladder as a little child telling the story? The rock as a pillow. And now, in that time, he saw God. But he moved on for the next 20 years, lived by his feelings, did what he wanted to do, but God's hand was still on him. And that's where you find now Jacob, who says, Esau, I'm sending him messengers, 400 people that return with the message from his brother Esau. And what is Jacob's response? You know what it is? It's one of fear. It's one of being upset. Fact is, let's read it here in Genesis 32, when you find in verse 6 that Jacob had those messengers come back from his brother Esau, 400 men with him. And what was Jacob's response? Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed. Why was that the case? Why was it that later on in verse 11, when he's praying, he's admitting to God himself, I fear him. Why was that the case? He was in torment. He was presently, in his condition, distressed. He was upset. It's a literal Hebrew word for being in a wad, to be emotionally tied up. Let me give you this overview of this, because this is so patternistic and illustrates most people today. You will end up finding the entrance of that fear comes from our past, our present, our future. Notice in the present the frustrations that end up coming that we live with every day. Many times as Jacob was distressed, he was upset. And the reason was because in the future there was a fear. He was under torment. Is what that word being afraid was, or verse 11, to be fear. It's the same terms that are used in the New Testament in the Greek of Romans 8:15, 1 John 4:18. Do you remember those terms? Those terms are the same terms that are being used of someone that is in torment and he is fearful. All of those picture someone that is not living in faith, he's living in fear. And why is that? In his case, it is because in the past, there's a failure there. And the failure that is haunting him is creating him presently be upset. And in the future, he's living in torment. All of this in his relationships. The unresolved conflict in the past that is creating unbearable pressures in the present. And in the future, he's living in fear. Because Jacob himself was still trying to manipulate his life and his relationships. And every time a person is living by that set of guidelines or by his feelings, you will find him in a great pressured situation. You can step back and take that same application to us today. Just as Jacob found himself and he looked back on his life. And let me stop for a minute. You know, it's interesting to note, those of you that would say, you know, the Bible, yeah, that's an outdated book. I don't know about that. If the Bible was not an honest statement about mankind, it would not end up putting these men, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, as men of faith, and yet revealing in Genesis, read through Genesis sometime, it is a sordid tale of man's problems. I mean, think about it. Jacob, hello, it's your brother, okay? Like, you ripped him off of his birthright and his blessing. You left for 20 years, you and your own relationship with your uncle Laban, your own mother that encouraged you to manipulate your dad. You who, after 7 years, said you're going to work for your wife, Laban gives you her sister. Now you got two for the price of one, and it still cost you 14 years. And here you find him now coming face to face with, whoa, My brother, 400 men, spells problems. Anytime you look at the past and you have unresolved conflicts and failures are not dealt with, I'm telling you, it's going to skew how you see things. Because when the story moves on, you'll find out that those 400 guys were not for problems. Esau was not trying to create more problems. Esau was so happy that he was hearing from his brother Jacob. And Jacob, all he heard was problems. By the way, the same things that now Esau's dealing with by fear, there were moments in his own dad and his granddad's life, as recorded in Scripture. Abraham, do you remember? There was a moment in time in fear where he was afraid what was going to happen to his life, and so he lied about his own wife, Sarah. Do you remember that story? And it said, why did you do that? I'm afraid what's going to happen. And then you move on to Isaac. Isaac did the same thing with his own wife, who was very beautiful. And they said, when he saw them sporting together, as the King James says, they were caressing one another. And he said, whoa. Hey, that's not your sister, man. You wouldn't do that with your sister. That's your wife. And they said, why'd you lie to us? Well, I was afraid for my life. There are moments in time in all of our lives where we begin living by fear. And you and I are going to be quenched, and we are going to limit what God wants if we start making decisions based on fear, particularly in these relationships. Question is, talking about your past, what is the one thing you wish never had happened in your own life? If there's one thing you wish you could change about your past, what would it be? Many times in counseling, I ask that question. It's unbelievable what comes out about that. Because you will end up finding a person's past is directly related to what's going on in the present. And that events that happened in the present are many times the things that we initially want to deal with. Many times people deal with, in their own present, things that are driving and moving them in their own upset stage or their frustrations. And many times that's connected as well to how we're going to look at the future. We're fearful of what's going to take place, just as Jacob was. I've seen many, many times when I end up asking people, hey, listen, how about your own relationships? Well, I don't want to start any kind of relationship. Why don't you want to start a relationship? Well, because this relationship I had in the past. Many times in business, people are afraid to launch out and as a Christian, move forward by faith because you know what? Things happened in the past. And they're afraid to move forward because of things that happened in the past. There's nothing wrong to learn by those mistakes, but at the same time, don't be driven by those. You find that in relationships, even as far as marriage is concerned. People then end up, well, I don't want to end up making any moves forward because, you know, my mom and dad and things that happen to them, so I'm afraid what's going to happen to me, so they don't want to move forward by faith in relationships. You find the same situation in relationships to currently how people are looking in their relationship with other people. You have people that are fearing what others will say, what others are thinking about. By the way, it's interesting to know, Matthew 25:25 talks about a man that was very fearful. Remember, it was the parable of the man and the talents. The owner gave out talents, and it came to the last guy, and he said, what did you do with my talent? He said, you know what? I didn't do anything with those talents. I hid my talent because I was afraid you were an unjust judge. You were going to end up hurting me, and out of the fear, he hid what God wanted him to do. Hey, you know what? There's a whole lot of people today, buried talent. They're afraid to step out and do something and be used by God because of some kind of fear that's driving them, protecting them. You see, all of this leads a person to be limiting what God really wants them to end up doing.
That was Pastor Marty Heron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Heart of Harvest brings you archived messages from Pastor Heron's nearly 19-year ministry at the church. You can download sermons from this archive at hbcguam.org/HOH for Heart of Harvest. All the information you need to send us a comment or question can also be found at hbcguam.org/HOH. Today's teaching from the Word of God was intended to help you develop a heart for God. Join us again next time, and thanks for listening to Heart of Harvest.